paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
7654. We've gone for main engine start. We have main engine start.
Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
Dave Player on this Sunday morning, back with you on 720 WGN. So her voice and face are instantly recognizable as the iconic representative of rock and roll at a time when music was fun and changed the world. As MTV's very first VJ, Nina Blackwood became the symbol of all things hip and culturally on point for a whole generation who looked to her as the final word on rock knowledge and history. MTV is turning 35 on August 1st, and to talk about those inaugural days is Nina Blackwood. Good morning to you, Nina.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I am excellent, and I'll tell you, I mean that when I say that as I was watching some clips on YouTube of you on the first days of MTV, but you are really what embodied MTV at a time where we were all curious and all watching it.
It's great. Thank you. I just can't believe it's 35 years.
I know. That's kind of crazy. It is kind of crazy.
It's very crazy.
And no music on television, really. I mean, you can watch it on YouTube and everything, but it's amazing that music television has very little music on it.
None,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, none.
if it is, it's probably like 15 minutes at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah, that's too bad. Actually, I'm sorry it went the way it did.
But I'll tell you something. When I hear your voice, you are perpetually 20-something because you and the original VJs are so indicative of that time. And right when you started there, I think I was in the midst of high school. And really, when you wanted to listen to music, you listened to the radio. All of a sudden, it became the cool place to go discover music was MTV.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is what I thought. I mean, some people could say, you know, it is a double-edged sword because, you know, the naysayers of it, they said, well, it destroyed your image of the song. And, you know, I understand that. And depending on the video, it might have. But it just opened up this whole new world of creativity where directors, before we went on the air, you and I were talking about the advertising community. And here there were. There were directors and producers, art directors, scenery people who were, a lot of them, doing commercials, television commercials. But as you well know, that's very restrictive. You have to do what the client wants you to do. Basically, you can suggest stuff, but bottom line, you know, it's a whole different ballgame. And here there was this avenue for all these people that had a lot of talent to experiment and a free-for-all. So, you know, we mostly think of it in relationship to musicians, but it really was the people making videos that it was also a groundbreaking thing for them, you know, cutting edge. And you could experiment and do these, and technology was, you know, compared to now, was so primitive. But, you know, I think of like Aha, Take On Me, that video with all the technology.
Oh, it's groundbreaking.
The cars, you might think, when he's, you know, Rick Ocasek in the, you know, turns into the fly. I mean, where else would, you know, creative people, creative directors, have an outlet for that? And that aspect of it, the visual aspect, bled into, it kind of went back into the commercials.
Yeah, sure.
Because the commercials wanted to be hip, like MTV. And then, of course, the movies with the soundtracks in the 80s. And then the look of television and the way they were edited and the quick edits and all this. So
there was some music programs.
Music.
Yeah, there was music programs There was music programs like the Midnight Special and some of these other
things.
And you would see people in concert, but you never had visuals to the story. And other people try to do stuff with Cube and pop clips and radio with pictures and stuff, but it never did anything. Those first days with Martha Quinn and Alan Hunter, Mark Goodman, J.J. Jackson at the helm, what did they tell you to do? Like, what did they say to you that first day? How are you bumping in music videos? Like, what was the structure at the time?
Well, actually, Mark and I were hired first. So we had a full, and Meg Griffin, who ended up being, she left. She didn't enjoy it. She's a real radio person. So then Martha and Alan came in. JJ came in right after us, and Martha was the last one hired, and Alan in between. So virtually Mark and I had the full month that they were experimenting before we even hit the air, and then the other ones had like either 3 or 2 weeks respectively. And so we were experimenting. The cameramen were getting their basically dress rehearsal. Yeah. So we had already been rehearsing before we did that first day. And in the beginning days, since it has never been done before, there was no outline to follow. So it was kind of...
You created it, you know, kind of as you went.
Flying by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, so there was a lot of experimentation and a lot of very free-for-all. In fact, you could see some of the early days, those first 2 years were actually the most fun, I think, for all of us because, you know, they would start us out scripted, and then there would be no script at all, and then there would be a kind of bullet points, you know, like a combination. Mm-hmm. Sure. So it would be, you know, what we had to cover, but then we would talk, you know, do our own little spiel, and all sorts of crazy things in the early days. That's when it was just so much fun. Like their runaway camera.
Yeah.
You know, these bits. I mean, we were doing bits on there, and I remember the infamous Alan, of course, is he's very much more than a music guy. He's kind of a comedian, you know, and he came from the theater, and he was, like, bouncing off the balls. And I remember one of the times he was doing cartwheels while he's doing his segment, you know, and he does a cartwheel and bangs it right into the lens of the camera, broke the camera, you know. And then they had me one time, they rolled me in on a big dolly that they used to change the lights on the top, you know, one of those things with a crane.
But that made it fun. That made it fun.
Oh, it was a blast.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I mean, there were segments that, and I keep pointing to Alan because he was really the, you know, the one that, you know, did these really goofy things. Like he was carving a pumpkin on air. And I think he carved that pumpkin, you know, like the whole 5 hours of his shift. Yeah. And then one time JJ was on, and I don't know if you remember, the original set had all those instruments hanging on the walls because they wanted it to be like, you know, somebody's
garage or someone's.
Well, all these instruments were from like the secondhand store. They were prop instruments. I mean, they were real instruments, but, you know, props. And one time JJ, you know, we do the toss. Mark tossed to JJ, and JJ was on. And the crew, the lighting guy, the sound guy, the cameraman, stage manager, all grabbed these different instruments and started playing the Tonight Show theme in these instruments that didn't work. I mean, so, and these were not, some of them were musicians, but not like professional musicians.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what that was like.
I bet.
And that went out over the air.
That's awesome. I mean, you know, that's awesome. Like, you know what I would love to see is I'd love to see some of this stuff again, because now it was just announced like within the last week that MTV is planning to rebrand their VH1 Classic to MTV Classic on August 1st. But more focused on the 90s, which was another era of MTV that was big and hip and everything. But I would love to see some of those original days of those first 5 years. I would love to see that. I'd watch that around the clock. That'd be cool.
A lot of people would, because that was a very special part of their life growing up, usually, you know, whether they were little tiny kids or, you know, in college. So there's that whole, I'd say easily 30-year range of people's ages, 30, 35 years. So, you know, there are a lot of people out there that would. But unfortunately, what I think, I heard this a long time ago, and I heard it a couple of times, so I think it's probably true. I think MTV, and it would not surprise me, because they were not the most, we didn't have money, that they retaped over stuff that we, yeah.
I hate hearing that.
And then there was also a warehouse fire where a lot of stuff was stored.
Well, and you get to still hear you again on Sirius and on syndication as well. You can hear Nina Blackwood and then 80s at 8 on 8 on Sirius XM and ninablackwood.com. Nina, thank you so much for spending some time.
And also, too, I just want to remember, I it sounds like a plug, but I'm not saying it so much as a plug. I'm a big reader. But we did put out a book if people want to read about our days, an oral history. It's called VJ, the story of MTV's first wave. And it's all about those days. You know, so
I have the book. It's a great read.
Yeah, I mean, if people like to read like I do, you know, they'd really, and even if they don't like to read, it's fun. It's a fun book, but that really goes in depth as to what was happening behind the scenes.
Very cool. Thank you so much. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you for having me on.
All right, much more ahead on 720 WGN.